Guided by the sound of your great voice. Knowing this Friday night, Father, where we could have been, if not for your grace, and the desires we could have had, if not for your power to transform and to change us in such a way, Lord, that we desire to be in the house of the Lord. Look at the weather condition, Father. Father, we realize there's something that's on the inside that's drawn us to be here. We did not come for fashion, we did not come for looks, we did not come for, Lord, anything else but to learn from thee tomorrow. Bless the Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, you so anoint your people, Lord. You so, Lord, bless them tonight, Father. They'll be wanting to come into the house of the Lord tonight. And they will say, did not our hearts. I pray, Lord, you to anoint your servant, to anoint your word. Lord, in the soul, Lord, transform our hearts, our minds, our thinking, that we can surely say, we do believe. I pray, Lord, that you look away to our faults and our Father and our weaknesses. We realize that we can do nothing without you. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to thee, Father. Let it not just be truth, but let it be accepted. Let it be spoken in the attitude, Lord, that will bring you. Attitude, Lord, that will bring your Holy Spirit to me and live tonight. And become, Lord, not with our assurance, Lord. Become not, Lord, just with message and post. And become here with the right attitude. Lord. You will be blessed in the midst of the we have failed to give you the praise and the honor and the glory, Father. I pray now, Lord, as we look to your word, that you will look upon us, Lord, as needful. And so bless us. So strengthen us tonight, Lord. That every man and woman will leave here, Lord, better man, better woman. I will love you deep, Father. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Your Bible is the right to the book of 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 and 10 verse. There's been such a fight, such a battle of seemingly in these meetings and so forth, prayer that we have to care about different incidents in the church and so forth. And I believe when there is the enemy fighting, there is going to be definitely a blessing. Amen. I just want to lay out my thoughts tonight. I decided to speak on life. And indwelling life.
Amen.
Tonight, tomorrow night, I'd like to speak on the seven seals of the to the rapture.
Amen.
And if we don't finish that tomorrow, tomorrow night, then on Sunday evening, I will continue it. But if we do, I'd like to speak of the omnipotence. The omnipotence speaks.
Amen.
So, 1 John chapter 3. And the sixth verse, I spoke a little bit on this the very first time I came to Durban, and it was such a rush in time that I never felt satisfied that a subject like this should be left unfinished. So I thought I would just look at it again and maybe have the time to have a better input for the Holy Spirit to help me again. So John chapter 3, starting with the sixth verse. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. 2 Timothy. People on the server were sleeping all day today, I was just checking. It's not all the way from Blackstaff to Durban. 2 Timothy 1:10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of this word. You may be seated tonight. I just want to thank the different pastors and probably do that along the way as I go along. And I'm praying for the Louis, the open doors, the open heart, and the cooperation, and I pray the Lord will just bless us in such a way that when we get over the other side, we can remember the goodness of the Lord. Remember the times when people we sat next to each other and the same hope, the same expectation, and looking to the same grace, that the same grace of God in our to bless us and to provide for us tonight. Now, I want to speak a little bit about this life, and life was never really known until this day.
Amen.
We really never understood life until this day. Now, the scripture says, in the 10th verse, what is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. We know that Christ came to swallow off death, hell, and the grave. He came to deliver us from death, hell, and the grave. And he said, who had abolished death? And that's 2,000 years ago. He has already done that.
Amen.
He's not doing that. He has already done that.
Amen.
If you believe it, then it becomes yours.
Yes.
Is that true? Yes. Now, faith is not to believe for something. Faith is to believe he has already done it. He has already given it to you. And that you have received it.
Amen.
And you give thanks to God for it.
Amen.
And God gives it for us. That's faith. Faith is always that which has already been done. Already finished. And therefore, it says here, who had abolished death 2,000 years ago, now watch carefully, and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Amen.
See, now when did he bring life and immortality to light through the revealing of the word?
Amen.
Not in the days of Paul. Paul had said before, I show you a mystery, but he did not explain it. He did not thoroughly
explain it. Right. Hallelujah.
He showed them, the Thessalonians, who were kind of discouraged because their loved ones were dying, and they had the understanding that they were not dying. They had faith in Christ, and he was going to come and take them. They were discouraged, and Paul encouraged them. He said, no. He said, no, God will bring them with him when he comes. He said, comfort your hearts with this. Amen. The Lord himself shall descend from them with a shout.
Amen.
With a voice of the archangel, with a trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
And we would remain. See, we would be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
Now he wrote that, but he never revealed it.
Yes, sir.
You see, you've got to remember the first 60 years of the church. These different letters that were written, epistles that were written, were sent to the different churches, but they were never united together.
Amen. Yes.
The Thessalonians might never know what the Corinthians had. The Corinthians might never know what the Ephesians had. They were letters that were addressed to them. The only thing they knew is the ministry that passed through them, that came passing through them, telling them the different things they heard from Paul and Peter and the revelation that's breaking.
Mm. Amen.
That's how it works. That's why they said they searched the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Now watch very carefully. So he wrote many things, but they were never revealed. When did life, when was life revealed? Did Paul talk about Zoe?
No.
In the words that we know Zoe? No. How about Jean? How about Steve?
No.
How many times did Paul mention the word theophany? How many times? How many times did Paul mention glorified body? How many times? Was it a lot of times? But you check your message today.
Glory!
Check your message.
Hallelujah!
Today. This time been seed, a germ of life.
Yes, sir.
A germ seed of life. And Zoe.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And the life of God. And theophany.
Yes.
And word body.
Yes,
and
sir.
And glorified body.
Glory! Hallelujah!
And you just look into it. It means that somewhere in this day,
amen,
life of immortality is to be brought to life.
Glory.
Unless there's a prophet in the land.
Yes, sir.
Even revealing takes a prophet.
Amen.
Amen. Not just a man. And not just, I should say, a prophet.
created it and it's created for us.
Yes.
But he himself was never created. Therefore, he's the only one who knows about eternal life. That's why eternal life was never revealed until this day. Even eternal life was never revealed until this day, and mortal life was never revealed until this day.
Amen.
Even because it was just him who is life to reveal life.
Glory.
Amen. And the scripture says in Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear.
Glory.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, the scripture was laying in the Bible, in the gospel, waiting to be revealed.
Hallelujah.
In prison, we see Brother touching. And when Christ is our life,
yes,
shall appear. Then we,
yes,
shall appear.
Amen.
In other words,
thank you, Lord.
The life of Christ. Even then, that life, even that we see, is we going to see that same life in us.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
The foreshadow of it is that all of them be such of a perfect man.
Yes.
But God was preaching it, even he was also appearing like that.
Glory.
Even he was acting like that. He was appearing like that.
Amen.
Christ was our life.
Yes.
Shall appear.
Yes.
Then we shall appear also.
Thank you, Lord.
Therefore, when is life, when is life going to be revealed? When is Christ, our life, shall appear? I know you're thinking about just a pillar of fire, you're thinking, amen, but that appearing didn't do anything to you. It only vindicates someone supernatural.
That's right.
Life is more than just a body.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It can only be known by characteristics.
Glory.
Amen. The characteristics is what tells you the kind of life it is.
Hallelujah.
Now the prophet is revealing life. He said, God, who is life, can only be known by his characteristics.
Amen.
Not by how it looks, not because it's a pillar of fire.
Oh, sir.
Not because it's an angelic form. Amen. Anybody can impersonate the body form.
Yes.
But they can't impersonate the quality. They can't impersonate the characteristics.
Amen.
That's why you can dress by the necessity to dress. You can have long hair. The brothers can talk about gene and seed. You can have no TV in your house. You can have all the things the message say. And still not have the life. And still not have the life. That is not the life. You say, well, you know, that is the life. You know, you dress right and so forth. Foolish person does that.
Yes.
And she doesn't have the life.
Absolutely.
You never said the evidence of the Holy Ghost was a sanctified life.
Mm-hmm.
You are sanctified before you get the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Foolish person proves that.
Yes.
What is the characteristics? You see? The characteristics of that life. Now watch very carefully. It cannot be revealed until the end time, because there's no prophet to come until the end time.
Amen.
For 7 years they didn't understand about life nor immortality. They were waiting for this day. And who appeared in this day? Amen. Eternal life can only be preached by he who is eternal.
Glory.
Only one who is eternal can never have beginning of day or end of
day. Glory.
Mother, Father, and he's not listening.
Amen.
But the man says, who do you say this God is? He never said, who do you say this God is? He said, who do you say this man is?
Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. King eternal.
Glory.
King immortal.
Yes.
Invisible. The only one God.
Amen.
There's only one King eternal. Hebrews 7 says, amen, that he had no beginning of days, no end of life, no mother, no father. Therefore, he must be King eternal.
Amen.
Now, if he is King eternal, would he not be able to reveal eternal life?
Amen.
But if not only say he's King eternal, King eternal and immortal.
Right.
Amen. He has two bodies. He has a pillar of fire body where he's called eternal.
Yeah.
And he has a glorified body now that he calls immortal.
Amen.
He is called King Eternal the offering and give Jesus clean water.
Glory!
Eternal water.
Amen.
Really? In Ephesians 4:6 of the COD book, what the Bible says, he said, and the Lamb will be the light of the city, and above the Lamb will be the great light, the locust.
Amen.
Is that what you told
us?
Notice what happens there. Eternal light and the light of the immortal light. The Lamb has a glorified body, that's immortality. King eternal, King immortal. Who is King eternal, King immortal? Paul said, verse 17, 117, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only one who is here. Who is this King? He is the author of all life. And He is eternal life.
Amen.
Therefore, He is the only one that can reveal it. Therefore, life could not be revealed until Melchizedek appears on the scene.
Yes, sir.
Now, Melchizedek is a prophet, priest, and king.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Melchizedek is a prophet, he is a priest, and he is a king.
Amen.
Because Melchizedek appeared in Genesis 18 as a
prophet.
Glory! But who was that in Genesis 18 talking to Abraham? He said, that was Melchizedek. Many places after the opening of the world, after 63 years, a young man in Genesis 18 was Melchizedek. So he was a prophet. Melchizedek appeared as a priest. And Melchizedek was a king. Prophet, priest, and king. But the priest was also a judge. All he did was move the girdle from the waist to the top. So Melchizedek is not only a prophet, priest, and king, but he is the judge.
Amen.
He's also the judge.
Yes.
Amen. Walk here in this day.
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Here is He who is the creator of all life. Here is He who is eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Here is He who is the judge. And just, would He not know all life? That's why He can hold. He can take the prophet and say, hold somebody's hand.
Yes, sir.
And He can judge what kind of life.
Amen.
They have. That was not a brother.
No, sir.
That was one that is the author of God.
Amen.
He knows every star by name.
Yes.
The Bible said in Psalm 147 and 400, He said He called them by name. Isn't that true? He called every star by name. Who do you think revealed the seven stars to the prophet? He called the stars by name also.
Amen.
Is He who named all the stars.
Amen.
He knows their position.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Glory.
Did He not place every star?
Yes.
Did He not place the stars?
Yes.
Amen. Did He not set their courses?
Amen.
See, now follow me just a little bit more as I lay this foundation. What's happening? Who it is that was judging in the first four physical demons? If He knows every star, and stars represent angels and saints, would He not know every demon that falls?
Yes. Yes.
You might call it cancer, even He might call it cancer because you know it as cancer. Is that true?
Amen.
He knows every physical germ that has been perverted. Any germs are not bad, is when they become perverted, they become bad.
Mm-hmm.
Everything starts with a germ of life. Not sure. He is the one who is able to judge the physical life and tell the prophet, amen, what life it was. He showed the prophet, he was teaching the prophet what it was. He knows every spirit. He can tell you a man with an adultery spirit, a lost spirit. What spirit was anointing a man? He can tell every spirit. He can discern the thoughts of the heart.
Amen.
He can tell you the secret of the thoughts of the heart.
Amen.
Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, it says, judge nothing until the time, until the Lord come, who will bring the hidden things of darkness to light.
Amen.
Amen. And the very counsels of the heart. Let's look at it. I just want to show you that it could not be reveal it until the last day.
1 Corinthians 4 and 5.
Should I put these down? Is it okay?
1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Watch carefully. Therefore, judge nothing for the time. That word time, until the season. Yes, this is a special season. Until the Lord comes, who will break the light and hidden things of darkness. Now, was there anything that could hide from the prophet? In your body, it couldn't hide. In your thinking and thoughts and spirit, it couldn't hide. In your churches, it couldn't hide. In the denomination, it couldn't hide.
No, sir.
Behind the purple curtain, it couldn't hide.
No,
sir. Behind the purple curtain, it couldn't hide.
No.
Where could it hide? There was no place for it to hide.
Amen.
Amen. It says in Matthew 10, Jesus speaking in Matthew 10, 26. He said, that which is hidden shall be revealed.
Yes.
It was a prophecy. For what day? For this day.
Amen.
This day the scripture could not, 1 Corinthians 4, 5, could not be fulfilled any other day except this day.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Even when the hidden things of darkness. Amen. When you bring to light the hidden things of darkness, there's not a spiritual light. A Balaam spirit not a light. A Nicolaitan spirit could not. A Jezebel spirit could not. Even a Nathan spirit could not. A poor spirit could not. Even a king spirit cannot hide. Amen. A Judah spirit cannot hide. Amen. Every spirit has been exposed. And it's brought to light when? This day.
Amen.
By who? Must be a judge, a righteous judge. Amen. Yeah, he showed the evidence. He can prove it.
Amen.
Whether it be a physical realm, whether it be a spiritual realm, whether it be a religious realm, political realm. Amen. He saw the political maneuver of the Roman Catholics.
Yes, Lord.
In America, couldn't hide.
Right.
He saw the ecumenical move, they couldn't hide.
Right.
He saw the mark of the beast, they couldn't hide.
Right.
He saw the image of the beast, they couldn't hide.
No,
he saw the beast, they couldn't hide. He saw the honor, they couldn't hide. He saw the darkness of the honor, they couldn't hide.
Amen.
Amen. Right. He opened up the fifth dimension and showed you where the souls that are lost are. He showed you where demons are.
Amen.
He showed you the king of the bottomless pit.
Yes.
He showed you where Lucifer is and when he will fall.
Yes.
He showed you the regions of the
same
dimension. He showed you the angelic realm. He showed you the Holy Spirit realm. He went over the curtain of time.
Glory.
He showed you the blue star. Wake up!
Hallelujah!
In another dimension!
Yes, sir.
Nothing can hide. Nothing can hide. He moved into light. He moved into matter. He moved into time.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Nothing can hide.
Right.
I will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Help me when the counsels of the heart will never be manifest. Luther day? Wesley day?
No.
In this day. In this day. Therefore, this. This life of immortality that is to be revealed is revealed by the one who is the creator of all life.
Amen.
And who is eternal life.
Amen.
He is eternal life. Therefore, he's the one who is qualified to reveal eternal life.
Correct.
He is Melchizedek.
Yes,
he
sir.
Is the king eternal.
Hallelujah.
He is the invisible.
Amen.
He is the one with immortality. When did he ever learn about the three kinds of body? Luke has told us?
No, sir.
Wesley? The Pentecostal denomination?
No.
One. He can reveal immortality. He can reveal the three kinds of bodies. Body terrestrial, body celestial. He goes to body terrestrial and show you the three parts. The body is spirit, the soul. He goes to the intellect. He tells you their weaknesses. He tells you their
strengths. Hallelujah.
He tells you their senses.
Yes.
Amen. Who did that?
Correct.
He goes to the soul and shows you the soul. He shows you the inlet. He shows you the two operations of the soul.
Amen.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He goes into the spirit and shows you the inlet of the spirit. He tells you his temperament.
Amen.
Chosen that every spirit has a gift for them.
Correct.
Then he goes to the gene. And he said, this gene will produce certain characteristics and joy. And said, that's the study of a book and man. That's joy in manifestation.
Amen.
Who did that? In this day that we're living in, Christ, our life has appeared. Not shall appear.
No.
And
amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And life is being revealed.
Yes, sir.
We did not know about
glory.
We can't know about life.
Amen.
Amen. We say, I know, you know, I'm born in Dilma. I know about Yosef. Oh, really? When I asked about Yosef, he said, well, I know that Yosef is a by the moon, the waves. I know it's wet. I know it's salty. I know it's deep. I know that's vicious. But you get a marine biologist and ask him what Yosef is, they do realize that there's nothing at all.
Amen.
That's how we know, you see. Amen. And therefore, if I ask you of eternal life before you ever came to the message, you say, brother, eternal life is to live a long, long time. That's not God's thinking of eternal life. I wouldn't want to live eternally if I'm miserable. Amen. That will not be. That will not be something to desire. That will be punishment. That will be punishment. Now I'm saying all of this so I can put this in the way of you like this. We did not understand it at all. And if we do not understand eternal life, then we do not understand God.
Amen.
And if we know not eternal life, then we know not God. Isn't that true? The Bible says, if they had known Him, they would not have crucified Him. Amen. The Lord of glory.
Amen.
Amen. Now, did they crucify Him today?
Yes.
Did they reject Him?
Yes.
Did they crucify Him a second time?
Yes.
Why? Because they who believe they know God, know not God, but they care right in the midst of
Him. Hallelujah. Glory. Yes, sir.
Amen. He is eternal life. If you say you know God, you must know eternal life. And wherever eternal life is, you cannot mistake it.
Amen.
Because you know it. Why? Because it has been revealed to
you. Yes, sir. Glory. Speak, Lord.
What's happening now? What do you crucify?
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord.
What's the doctrine you crucify?
Yes, sir.
Nothing.
Yes, sir.
Because you do not know eternal life. You do not know the thoughts of eternal life.
Yes, sir.
You do not know the quality, the characteristics, the thinking. God is not reasonable. He's not logical.
Amen. Amen.
He does not think the way we think.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, the very ones who say they love Him, are the very ones who crucify Him. I know you have about Pentecost.
Yes, sir! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Absolutely! Speak, Lord!
No, God, He's there! We think everything is out there!
Yeah.
Amen, but it's not out there.
No.
Follow me. I must first get your attention before you ever listen to me. I must get your attention before you ever listen to what I'm going to say by listening to me. That's why it's different. What's happening? Israel came out 2 million under a vindicated prophet in 3 words.
Amen.
Led by a pillar of fire.
Correct.
Now bring in the eagle. Is that right? We both vindicated. Led an exodus.
Yeah.
They were following the message. The women all dressed in Moses' dress.
Yes.
And while they were in church following the pillar of fire message, they died with long dress and long hair.
Amen.
Right.
And so did the preachers.
Amen.
So did we. We died. Not only did the people not make it from that generation that was delivered, but also the ministry didn't make it.
Amen.
Where did they rise up to crucify Christ? Were they not rising up to crucify Moses?
Yeah.
But not based on our fallen.
Yes.
Lord, to crucify you, to attack you, to rebel against you, to
Amen.
Reject you.
Amen.
Even Moses was God to them.
Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Right. See that that was not man's thought. That was
no. God's
thought.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
Isn't it? Whatever
yes.
it comes out of their life. And they knew it not.
Yes. Amen.
Can I repeat it now?
Yes.
It was not outside. They did it. But that is not where the problem lies. Right where the message of Philippi and the vindication led them. Therefore, you can crucify the message of Christ. You can crucify his servants. You can crucify his people. Amen. But all of that is how God sees.
Amen.
That's how God thinks. He said, but what can it be? Paul of Tarsus. Amen. Was persecuted in the church on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
Amen. A light struck him and he said, who art thou, Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Now, but who? Why dost thou persecute me? He was persecuted in the church.
Amen.
Is that right? I mean, Jesus is saying, why art thou persecuted me?
Amen.
He said, who art thou, Lord?
Yes. Hallelujah.
He said, who art persecuting?
Correct.
Jesus is now persecuted.
Yes.
Lord does not see the way you see, nor does he think the way you think.
Yes. Speak, Lord.
And after Paul was, his eyes became open, Paul gave his life for the body of Christ. The very one he was persecuted. Therefore, you do not know what eternal life is. Therefore, if you do not know what eternal life is, you do not know who God is. And then everywhere we see God, you might never might be able to recognize it.
Correct.
And if you don't recognize it, you don't know it. Amen. Then you can crucify it. You can take evil.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Because eternal life always finds itself behind a veil.
Amen. Right.
And the veil is always something to people.
Amen.
Because the veil don't have to be perfect.
That's right. Amen.
Moses was not perfect, and that's why. But yet it was God.
Amen.
Yes, it's true. So the veil will have to be perfect. That is why the Lord is God. There has to be only God can do
that.
Let me ask you a question then. Can eternal life? We did not know God. We didn't know God. So if we say things like, you know, God is limited by his own nature. Wait a minute, we say all things are possible. Don't we preach all things are possible in the song saying all things are possible?
Yeah.
All things are possible only within the nature of God.
Amen.
The life outside of the nature of God is not possible.
Correct. Amen.
Because if you do anything outside your nature, you'll be hypocrite.
Correct. Yeah. Amen.
That's why it's impossible for God to lie.
That's right. Amen.
It's not in his nature.
Yes.
He cannot. If he lies, he'll be hypocrite. Amen. He cannot. It's not in his nature. If a dog acts like a carter. Amen. Something is wrong with that nature.
Yes. Amen.
So now we are learning. Amen. If you say that God is limited by his nature, and so are you.
Amen.
So you are limited by your nature. Follow again. God cannot create eternal life. It's impossible. It's impossible for God to create eternal life. And if God can't create eternal life, how do you have eternal life? Therefore, we need to look at eternal life. It has never been revealed until this day. And I'm here to say that this Bible is written in such a language that it can only be revealed by the end time prophet messenger.
Amen.
In this Bible, it's going to reveal life and death.
Amen.
If for the Bible is talking about Zoe, it must be in this Bible.
Yes.
If you're talking about jealousy, the Bible must be in this
Amen.
Bible. Amen. Everything he spoke of must be in this Bible.
Amen.
He is a word prophet.
Correct.
And he can have another pastor, but my own shall not pass. what do they else know about God? We know one thing, that God is omnipotent. He's omnipotent, which means He's all powerful. We know that God is omniscient, which means He knows all things. And we know that God cannot be everywhere, like the wind. He's not everywhere. If He's at Brother Shane's house now, He cannot be here. We didn't know that before.
Amen.
When was that revealed?
This day.
In this day.
Amen.
We used to think God is everywhere. Well, the Bible says He's not everywhere in a being. He's not everywhere by foreknowledge.
Amen.
By omniscience. In other words, because He knows all things, it is like He's everywhere.
Yes.
But He Himself is only in one place where you call His presence.
Glory!
Amen. Therefore, that because eternal life is not being revealed to us, and eternal life is God, then that leaves a lot of questions.
Yes.
It leaves a lot of questions for us. So before I go there, let me just read some for you. From the Message, it wasn't so from the beginning. Now God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent by being omniscient. Makes Him omnipresent. He knows all things. God could not just be like the air is, because He has a dwelling place. God is not a myth. God is a being.
Amen.
Therefore, He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Position in Christ. The question was asked by a theologian to me that's been attending the meeting and hearing the tape. Said one question, said, then is God omnipresent? He said, He can be everywhere. That's what the theologian said. Is God omnipresent? He can be everywhere. I said, He is not omnipresent in the way the word speaks omnipresent. He cannot be a being and then be omnipresent. He is omnipresent. Why? If He's omnipresent, why would He pray for the Holy Ghost? If He's omnipresent, He will fill every crack, every corner, every purpose, every cell, every fiber, everything else there is. Why did He come for Moses if He's omnipresent at the end? Why did He run up and down in the garden crying, Adam, Adam, where are you? And He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent because He's omniscient. He knows everything because He's infinite. He is omnipresent by being infinite, by being. But He sits in the heaven, He lies in a place because He is a being. For a nation. He is God, that's all. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Just thought and let it happen. That's what the prophet said. He says, listen to the words. He's God, that's all. He's omnipresent. See, He's everywhere. I just thought I'd leave it. I thought I'd leave it hanging. Sometimes that's what He does. Then God is everywhere. He never even addresses it. He just lets it hang. He says, I thought I'd leave it hanging. See? Now look, take a hold. He's omnipresent. That makes Him God. God alone can be omnipresent. Son of man, which is now in heaven. See? No man ascends up but He that comes down from heaven. Even the Son of Man which is in heaven. There He was standing on top of a house, yet in heaven. See? He's omnipresent. That makes Him God. That's the only thing that can be omnipresent is God. Now you cannot be omnipresent without being omniscient. So when Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man, they said, earth as it is in heaven also. But man said, oh, He's only that way because He's omniscient. Not because His presence was there. And can I read one more for you? Church dedication. I'm going to read this one more for you. I would like to make a statement that if we made known among us, especially among scholars, that God is omnipresent, well, I believe in a measure that God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent, Him being omniscient makes Him omnipresent. If God is omnipresent just like the atmosphere, then He is a myth. But God is a person. Therefore, He has to have a certain place that He dwells. And He is omnipresent by being omniscient. Therefore, if He is everywhere,
Because he's omniscient, he knows everything. Therefore, if he knows everything, he knows what's going on every place. But God himself dwells in his sitting place. But he himself is a person dwelling in one place, therefore, before him omniscient.
Amen.
I believe you know this. But that leaves a lot of questions. It leaves a lot of questions now that we can ask. And I'm going to ask it. Because that's the only way that we can really this message comes to transform our thinking the way we used to think in Pentecost.
Yeah.
We don't think no more. Because why? They do not know God. Pentecost do not know God. They know the power of God. That's not God.
Amen.
Amen. They might feel the gifts of God. That's not God.
Amen.
Amen. But that's not God. Because if they had known him, they would not approach him on the altar. If they had known him, they would not have crucified him.
Right.
Amen. Sure, they do not know him.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But if we just know him, then we must know eternal life.
Right.
We'll never crucify. We'll never resist it.
Yes, sir.
We'll never rebel against it.
Amen.
Amen. Because we know that is God.
Yes.
Amen. So then that leaves me with some questions. And the questions I like to ask is this. If God could only be one place at one time, then when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, let's say Brother Norman is filled with the Holy Ghost, and Brother Norman said God comes in and dwells in him, then what happens to Donnie Reagan and Tennessee? It'll only be one place at one time. Or something is wrong with the prophet's definition. Or something is wrong in the way we used to see eternal life. If he can only be one place at one time, if he fills you with the Holy Ghost, then what about Brother Elric in Margate? Is he dwelling in you and then dwelling in Margate also? Okay. Let's say you are born again, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, God comes in and puts his throne up and takes up residence in you. God in you. If God is in you, why do you need guardian angels? Is he not strong enough? I'm not trying to be rude.
Amen.
What I'm trying to do is to destroy what we have there. Okay? In my life, when I go to set up what I believe, you will have a stronghold and you will be asking questions while I go along.
Amen.
But if I destroy what you have in your heart, the only thing that's left is to be built up.
Amen.
If God is in you, why do you need guardian angels? Is he not strong enough? Mm-hmm. Brother Brown said, angels bring revelation and inspiration to you. Why do you need angels to bring revelation and inspiration to you? When you have the greatest, the revelator himself in you.
Amen.
That's a good question, isn't it?
Mm.
You're not upset with me, are you?
No.
Amen, that's a good question.
Amen.
Why do you need the angels of the Lord to camp about you when I've got the greatest warrior?
Glory!
The mighty warrior in here. Okay, that's a good question. You don't think so? How many believe from God had Holy Ghost? How many believe he has to not come and it's not a trick question? How many believe he has the Holy Ghost? Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, but God has the Holy Ghost. He's walking up the mountain to be your canyon. All of a sudden he stops. He says, Lord, I know you're here somewhere.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. If he's in him, wouldn't he be walking up the mountain with you?
Correct.
Wouldn't he be walking up the mountain with you? How many believe Brother Branham was born again before 1946?
I believe.
1946 had an experience
I am sent from the presence.
Yes, sir.
I'm sent from the presence of God.
Yes.
To reveal to you your peculiar. Wait a minute. Let that sound right. In other words, once something breaks, we normally, before it breaks, we don't question anything. Mm. We normally read with our mindset. Because even though we say you must not interpret the message, we are biased and we interpret. Without even knowing. Without even knowing. You're a young man, you're young, flexible. Can you come a minute, Rob, please? Listen, man. Come on, you're in God's TV tonight. You're a star, co-starring. You're young, you're flexible. You don't know, your back doesn't look good. No. Can you touch your boots? He just interpreted my words. I told him that his doors, he kept his knees straight. And he thought, oh, can he do it? And touched his toes. Why did you do that? Because you thought, I wanted you to touch your toes like, I just need to do this. That is. No matter if you read your Bible, that bias is in you.
Yes.
That bias, that is something that is already there. Intellectually, you can understand. You are made to intellectually understand the word of man.
Yes.
You will think of God's word like the way man thinks that it's logical and it's reasonable. Except God is not logical, no reasonable.
Right. Amen.
Neither does he write his word in a way. He writes it in a way that man's pride causes him to say, see, this is what God means. That's not what God means at all. And he ties it that way. Let me give you an example before I go on. Can you go to John 3:16, one of my favorites? For God so loved the world. How many believe that that's the most used scripture in all the world? Is that true? Now, I can have to do this quickly, but just an example to show you how dangerous it is to approach this world without depending on the Holy Spirit. It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How many believe that? Now, you might believe it, but in your heart you have a certain way that you believe it.
Correct.
But it might not be in God's heart at all. See? Because now what? He who says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. When his Son came, he spoke in parables.
Amen.
And he who said he loves the world says unto them, it is not given but unto you.
Yes. Amen. Absolutely.
Then it's in John 19, it's in John 17 and 9, it says, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that God has given.
Yes.
And I told you, he loves the world. Then in 1 John he says, love not the world.
Yes. Amen.
If God loves the world, why can't I love the world? Maybe the world means different things.
Amen.
In the Bible.
Amen.
Maybe the world has different meanings in the Bible. And God's word, sometimes said God comes to redeem. Jesus only comes for one thing, to redeem that which was in his mind already.
Yes.
To redeem means to bring back.
Yes.
And what was lost was Adam, Eve, and Eden. Isn't that true? That was what was lost. I mean, so God's mind and God's will only is the elect.
Yeah.
And only the elect can be redeemed. It's not everybody.
No.
It's not this world he's talking about. God's will only consists of Adam, Eve, and Eden. It says, whosoever will. It seems like everybody is invited. And it's in John chapter 6, he says, and 44, he says, no man can come to me except the Father.
Yes, amen.
But so whosoever will. No man can come to me except the Father. So now, does John 3:16 still look the same way?
No.
Doesn't look the same way, does it? It seems like whosoever will seems everybody. But it's not. Just like. Can we go to one more scripture? The scripture is written in a way to blind the pride of man, to shame it, Therefore, a man will take the books, get me a concordance, and you run down the line everywhere, and you're thinking, oh, God is love. And then you put all the love scripture on, all the salvation scripture, and you bring it in. And you show you John 3:16. And be a million miles away from God's
word. Amen.
Because this was not written for everybody. This was only written for the Lord.
Glory!
Amen. What's Mark 1:5? And they went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now in Jerusalem was Herod. Did he go? There was Pilate. Did he go? There was Caiaphas. Did he go? It says all. The all is only them that the Father has given him. All is only them that he has drawn. No man can come to me except the Father.
Amen.
So the all in the Bible doesn't mean all. Everybody say, yes, that's true. That's true. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And the 22nd verse. For as in Adam all died. See that all died there? Every man died because of Adam. Even so in Christ, all shall remain alive. Will Herod remain alive? How about Judas? The all is only the elect.
Amen.
The all of God is the elect of God. I did not interpret this, but I'm interpreting this way. He said, and all thy children shall be taught of thee, and great shall be thy peace. Quote in Isaiah 54:20, he said, that all of God is the children of God. Therefore, this Bible is written in such a language that if you try to understand without the Holy Spirit and the prophet message, you'll come up with your own ideas. And it may sound good, reasonable and logical, but that doesn't make it right. A million miles away. Now, God so loved the world, so their idea is that God loves everybody. Isn't that true? Let's go to Romans 9. Romans 9, starting with the 11th verse. For the children being not yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that called it, is said unto her, the older, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I. Wait a minute, I thought God loves everybody. And this is because Esau didn't do anything. It was not based on him doing anything wrong. It was not based on good and evil. It was based on election.
Amen.
On election. You think a Baptist would buy that? Now they'll be starting the fire about now. After I come out, they shall be put on it. That's how God moves with them. And that is the way we read the message also. We read the message because we think the revelation is the message, the books. Don't you think that? If the revelation is the book, then all you need to do is to remember the book. The revelation becomes a memory.
Right.
Is revelation a memory?
No.
Yes, sir. So Brother Brown says, what is a mystery? He said a mystery is a divinely revealed truth, previously hidden, now divinely revealed, but contains a supernatural element despite the revelation.
Amen.
And when we try to approach these books with confidence that we believe it and everything is said is true, and therefore because everything in there is true, I believe it, and that's your revelation. You miss it.
Amen.
You see, because we are biased, we are born to read and try to understand, and by our experience and by the meaning of the words and what it means to us, and we do it automatically. I'm going to give you some instance. And when you miss confess the thoughts of God, but you believe the word of God, it's called sin.
Amen.
The Jews believed the word of God, but they had the wrong thought of the word. And when it came, they missed it. And it became sin. Give you an example. Look at the prophet's message. He says, a theophany cannot eat nor drink. Is that true? And Genesis 18, Balaam says that the man in Genesis 18 was a theophany, yes, that was Melchizedek. And he ate and he drank.
Amen.
Now, that is placed there left hanging. Because he knows it is a human mind that they will go that way. God did that purposely. He does it purposely. Page 6 of the unveiling of God. God has he said, you have this, I hope you have a spiritual understanding of what God has been trying to say to the church without saying it right now. He said, you see, you have to say things in such a way that it causes some to ponder, some to leave. It is purposely done now.
Amen.
It's only when you begin to become afraid of your own knowledge, you're getting into the right place. It's only when you become in such a state that you question your own logical reasoning of what you've read, then you're coming into the right state. When you begin to question yourself, then you're prepared for God to lead you.
Amen.
And God to show you.
Yes.
Genesis 18. Now watch carefully. It is left hanging, like the prophet would use the word, he left hanging. Now, it is true that a theophany does not eat and drink. But the man in Genesis 18 did eat and drink. And Abraham said, I was a theophany. Watch carefully. But you see, it is because there are many kinds of theophany. There are theophany of nature, which is spoken by Abraham in a whirlwind. There is a supernatural theophany, which is like a pillar of fire. What is a theophany? It's a God manifestation made up of two words. Theo means God, and phani, manifestation or body. Therefore, and then you can have creative theophany, which is angels. They are theophanic also. And then they have human theophany, when your soul goes to that body. That's another kind of theophany. Your soul goes to that body. But you see, the man in Genesis 18 was Melchizedek.
Amen.
He didn't have a soul. That's a different kind of theophany. Amen. If he has a soul, then he has a beginning.
Amen.
Amen. But there is no beginning.
Glory.
And if he was a man with a soul, he must come up with a judgment.
Yes.
But he had no soul. So he's a different kind of God.
Amen.
Amen. And the angels that took on human body, angels don't have soul. Remember, I'm calling them immortal beings. So they're a different kind of theophany. But the human theophany cannot eat nor drink. But the man in Genesis 18, he was different.
Thank you, Lord. Glory.
But no, it is left like that. I'm going to give you two more so you can see where I'm going. Let us look for the banner. He says, in your theophany you know all things. Now you can believe it because your mind will go to work. One part will say, the prophet said, I believe it, you know all things. Even if you do that, you still believe in your own mind what that means, and it still becomes sin if you miss the mark. Unless you're willing to say, and the Holy Spirit with me.
Yes, Lord.
This is beyond me. Who can know the thoughts of God? We are responsible for the thoughts of God. That's how humble we must become. That's how much we must even question ourselves and our biases. Then that's coming like a little child. We don't know a thing. We have no confidence in what we know.
Amen.
Now watch very carefully. If in your theophany you know all things, and if that means what you think it means, I will have to ask you,
When Luther died, he entered his theophany. Did he know what was on the seals? When Wesley died, he entered his theophany. Did they know what was on the seals? Okay, in the Old Testament died and went in their theophany. Why did Jesus have to go down there and say, I am the mountain hewn out without hands, the stone? Why did he have to go down there and say, I am the wheel within the wheel, Ezekiel? They would have known that already. You think Luther will know what is under the seals before we do, because he's in theophany? But he said, no man in heaven, under the earth, or on the earth knew what is in that book. If the theophany knew all things, what was under the left of the body and went into theophany? And the first time, he did not know who the woman was. He did not know where Paul was. He did not know where Jesus was. He was in his theophany now. They hugged him, our precious brother, and felt nothing.
Amen.
What's now? Also. And then they who were there, when they realized that he had to be judged according to what he preached, he said, I preached telling what Paul preached, they cried out, not that they know, and they all in the theophany said, we are counting on that.
Amen.
What in theophany know our things? And the Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Talking to the living. In 1 John, it says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. So he's not saying that the theophany, he said you, the living, who have the Holy Ghost, know all things. Do you know all things that are born again? Then all things in God's mind must have a special meaning. Huh? All things. It means that you are a living epistle and you have a part of the word to live out and play out. That part you must know if you're going to live out the word. All things pertaining to you and your ministry and your day must be revealed to you, and that's what the ministry comes for, that you might live out your part of the word.
That's
the only thing.
Hallelujah!
It's easy, right within the framework of the message, the things that are said and the doctrines that are developed. That you can have your own ideas.
Amen.
So the very ones who say stay with the word, the very ones who misinterpret the word.
Amen.
The very one who says don't add to the word, the very one who adds to the word. And that's why I'm speaking on this tonight. Watch very carefully. It's a valid question to ask. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, why do you need God in here? If Brother Bar was filled with the Holy Ghost, why was he waiting for God? Do you know what I'm waiting for? Some more. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost means like water in a glass, like this. I have three glasses. Remember that? If filling the Holy Ghost means like water in a glass, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord in you, tell me how you are in God. Bible says that He is in you and you are in Him. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost like a hand in a glove, tell me how you are in God. Now remember, we are living in the end time. We said all the mysteries have been revealed. We're living in the end time. We said the Bible will become a new book. We're living in the end time. But the prophet said eternal life, life and immortality is revealed through the gospel. Only in this day, no one can have told us those things. The things we are saying today, only because someone has appeared.
Amen.
To reveal that which we did not know. And therefore we never questioned. We took it for granted. I am a preacher, just like many of you. I'm born again, just like you. Filled with the Holy Ghost, just like you. And when I stand here, ministering spirits are sent from the presence of God.
Amen. Glory.
But if I'm not here, why do I need them?
Right.
If I'm not here, why do I need them?
You think we have good kids? I think we have good kids that we at least listen, at least say, okay, look, you know, maybe there might be something the way we were taught in the denomination. The way we were taught in Pentecost about filling God, filling you with the Holy Spirit, what that means. And we could bring, isn't it, you know, we could bring as ministers that which we were taught in the system into the message. And we read the prophet message with a preconceived idea.
Right.
And don't even know where to go.
Amen.
I tell you what, brethren, anything that makes you humble as a minister is when you realize what you preached before and how wrong it was.
Yes.
How dangerously wrong it was. Because what I'm telling you today is the very thing I used to preach. If not for the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. But you know what it says? It says the Father loved the Son and showed him many things. Amen. If the Father loves you, his bride, he will not leave you where you are.
Amen.
He will show you many things.
Amen.
Because these things are for the children.
Amen.
Amen. They're not for the world.
Amen.
Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And unto them it is not given.
Amen.
Amen. Look very carefully now. Let's go to the scripture text we read from John. I hope I don't want to take too long, but man, it seems like this is taking long. Forgive me. Amen. Are you happy for me?
Amen.
Watch very carefully. I read St. John chapter 3 and 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is. Did you notice anything different between the word flesh and flesh? No. Do you see any difference between the word that which is born of spirit is spirit? Who said yes? Brother Louis' wife said yes. I'm glad when pastor's wife sees things. Yes, what's happening now? The first S is a capital S, and the second S is in lowercase S. And now I'm going to read a quote for you. Church's book, Ephesians Church 8, page 105, paragraph 2. Let this be known. Scripture does not play with words. Whatever is in the record is there for the anointed eyes to see. It is there for a purpose. Therefore, this is written in the Bible for a purpose. It's written there for a purpose. And you say, Brother Tony, well, who is the anointed eye to see? It's living our minds. Brother Branham says this. Quoted from question and answer in Hebrews part 3. He's going to show you about capital letters. He said, and any of you read it, 1 Corinthians 11, and the 10th verse. If you notice power of the angels. 1 Corinthians, because the angel is the man, the messenger. Look, it's a little A. Where angels are heavenly beings, it's a big A or a capital A. The prophet is teaching you in your Bible, they are lowercase letters and uppercase, but they have different meanings. He said, wherever you see a lowercase A, it means men. Wherever you see a capital A, it means heavenly angels.
Thank you, Lord.
Sir, what sign is it? By the way, let me question your hand. You see, you have to depend on the interpreter to figure out which one is man and angel. So sometimes they are wrong. But you could be right because you have a prophetic message. And wherever you see it, you correct it in your Bible with the lowercase A. You get what I'm saying? Amen. They don't know for sure. All they know that's a rule. Sometimes they miss. Sirs, what time is it? I was about to write and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal. He said, you notice a capital S-E-A-L? You check every one of the seals in the first six chapter. Chapter 6, lowercase. Seven seal of God. Always thinking of climax. That's the completion. The end. The fullness. What is the Holy Ghost? For by one Spirit, by one church, it doesn't read like that. One handshake? No. Then somebody's wrong. By one Spirit, it's a capital S. And there's much more. Ephesians, power, Joshua, the seven spirits before the throne. He's showing us that their meaning in capital letters. Okay? What is the meaning? Well, we must find a law. The law says that which is born of flesh is flesh. If a dog gives birth to a dog, what is it going to be? What kind of flesh will it be? Dog. If a cat gives birth, what will it be? A cat. If a lion gives birth, what will it be? If a natural man gives birth, what will it be? Man. In other words, this is Genesis 1:11. Let every seed bring forth of its own kind. Amen. That which is born by the first birth is the first birth. Amen. Is that right? Fallen man brings forth fallen man. But that which is born of the Spirit of God is what? In other words, the capital S is speaking of the source. And the lowercase S is speaking of the product.
Let me read a quote for you so you don't think that I'm running away here with you. Brother Brown says, in a message of leadership, what a rebuke to Christianity. We are supposed to represent God and eternal life, and there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. He alone has eternal life. Now listen to the quote. And we are products of His. And we are product of His. Now, if He is Spirit, we are what? Product of His. So he goes on to say now, He alone has eternal life. We are products of His because we are genes of His children.
Praise the Lord.
Leadership, page 119, paragraph 119.
We are genes of His Spirit. Now, if this is source, this must be Father. And if this is Father, the product is always sons, but by genes. Amen. And genes come in seed. And every seed carries nature.
You remember these words looking familiar? Gene, seed, nature, sons.
Now, if he is Zoe, what would the genes be?
Amen.
I want to hear amen. Nobody wants to say a word. Come on, be wrong with me if you want to. It's okay, God will forgive us.
Thanks.
Thank you, brother.
Zoe. Zoe. Now, if this is eternal life, what is this?
Eternal life.
Thank you, brother. Eternal life. Eternal life.
You're winning the case, so let me just taste it. Now, what would I call this spirit? What kind of spirit is that?
Wow.
You're going to just let me do the whole thing. You won't even join in me in case I am wrong, then you know I have somebody to at least lick my wounds with.
If this is spirit, what kind of spirit is? Wouldn't that be Holy Spirit? And what will this be?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Okay, I think you're getting a little nervous. So let me just read some quotes to get everybody comfortable. I like what he said, Brother Branham said, and everybody can answer. Watch very carefully. Brother Branham said. And that's the way it should be. That's what you should expect. We have one absolute.
Amen.
That is Him.
Amen.
Now, in the message shows the Father, Brother Branham says, the one, he says,
There's only one way you can tell the difference is to bury them. Both of them will rot, but one of those men, is finished. The one that God made has the germ of life in it, and it lives again. I said, hold your preacher, hold your hand. Let me hold your hand, preacher. I'm going to embarrass you. For there is a time when none. You can take two men, both of them look alike. Both of them act like Christians, but one of them has got the germ of life, which is the Holy Ghost. One of them has the what? Germ of life and gene, isn't it the same? He said the germ of life, which is the what? Wow, is he talking about the source? Or is he talking about the fire? I'll read it again. I said, hold my hand, preacher, I'm going to embarrass you, for there is a time when man, you can take two men, both of them look alike, both of them act like Christians, one of them has got the germ of life, which is the Holy Ghost. He will rise in the resurrection, the other one will leave. So I'll read again. Not just one quote, but some more. You have two men that look like Christians, act like Christians, but if one of them has got the Word of God in him, if there is a germ of life in there to germatize, he will never rise. If the eternity will rise, that's because he can't rise. There's nothing in there to rise. Spiritual amnesia. You want the Holy Ghost and you want that experience. It's not an emotional experience. You want the Holy Ghost, isn't it? You want the Holy Ghost, the life, the germ of life inside of you.
Amen.
Spiritual amnesia, 1964. Broken system. It's not pumping up, it's power within itself, it needs no priming for itself, its own life is in itself. That's the way the seed of God is in a man. Here, the life of God within the individual, not the church, in you. You see, it's in you, and you're the one that has the germ of life in
you. Amen.
So God is calling the germ of life the Holy Ghost. But is he talking about this? Okay. There's only one form. Let's say I have an orange. I want to have many oranges. So I use the law of reproduction. Okay. I let the orange rot. I let the orange bring a tree. I name this tree now with many oranges. No, many fruits. This is the orange, you have many fruits now. Now I have many fruits. What am I going to call this fruit?
Orange.
What?
Orange.
Orange. Orange. Ah. Now, if I call this God, what am I going to call this?
God.
Notice what I did.
Amen.
I call it God because there's only one form of eternal life. And wherever I see it, that must be God. And then I put a lowercase g to distinguish that the life in me does not make me him. It just makes me God, lowercase. Because that which is born of God, the sons of God. Therefore, they are God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen. Now what's heritage? So now, with all this concept in our mind, we'll hear Brother Branham say, that Jesus has the ocean. And all you have is a spoonful of the ocean.
Yes.
So now you hear him say that. And you say to yourself, I know what he means. I could picture it in my mind. But that picture in your mind is not from the Holy Spirit. He said it that way so you will miss the mark and the elect will pick it up. Because you see, when you take from the ocean a spoonful and you're thinking that he's talking about the spoonful, if you're thinking about the spoonful, every time you take a spoonful, the ocean is a spoonful less. Correct. But notice he's not talking about the spoonful, he says, check the content of the water. It is the same content of the ocean.
Amen.
Now, let's say I am the source, the father. If I, from my ocean of genes, take one seed out, and I put it up here, and I check the content of that seed on myself, what would it be? But does it make me any less? If I father 100 children, and I give 100 of them my own life, would I be any less?
No. No.
Hallelujah.
No.
Beautiful. You can miss the mark. The very message, even it seems so simple that God is revealing simplicity, is not true. You hear it many times. God is in simplicity. God is in simplicity. But you forgot the text he used to preach that. His text to preach that was, who are the people before? To whom the arms of the Lord is revealed.
Amen.
It is simple to them that the Holy Spirit revealed it to.
Right.
It is not simple for them who has not converted.
Amen.
You know what? They'll put their own interpretation. They'll have their own ideas. And it might sound good. And you're quoting back exactly what he said, but in your heart, the meaning is different. And when you miss the mark, it is called sin. How dangerous we are living.
Amen.
Amen. Two things that sound so reasonable, so logical. The other one will say, you are interpreting. You are interpreting. No. Whatever you say must fit back in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. It must fit back. Whatever Brother Barnes said must fit back in the Bible.
Amen.
Watch now, very carefully. So on the day of Pentecost, God broke himself into 120 pieces and went into the church. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that what he said? 120 pieces the Philippi broke himself into. Do you believe that? Philippi. 120 pieces. I'm going to take bigger pieces, huh? I'll be here forever. 120 pieces. Where did it go into? Church. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's how I did. He said it. Believe it. Don't add. Don't take away. It's in the church. Who's talking to Paul on the road to Damascus in a pillar of fire? If he leaves you, he broke his word. If he left you unformulated himself, he broke his word. I'll be with you. Even in you. But that's the idea. Unless this concept is not right. I'm not saying the prophet is not right, saying you're understanding of what he said. He's not saying that. But what if I take the pillar of fire and make him the source like this? And I say it here with many seeds. And on the day of Pentecost, he just took 120 of his seeds and
Amen.
He is still going to abide.
Yes.
And they all have what he has.
Amen.
And that will say that he is the father near his children.
Amen.
Would that still be the same?
Amen.
So is it God dividing himself? now isn't asked to and for the church being born. Amen. Then we talk about born, you're talking about seed, you're talking about gene, you're talking about germ of life, you're talking about fathering.
Amen.
Amen. And I can say I divided myself in my family.
Amen.
But only God knows what He means. Why did He use those languages? Because you gotta admit, we have our own thinking. I don't know about you, but I have my own thinking. I preach these very things that I'm not telling you. And it was wrong and false doctrine as it can be. And if not for the grace of God, I would still be preaching it today. And you can tell me anything else because I can say I'm saying what the prophet said. Saying what the prophet said is not safe. But look at the God to give you the understanding of what He said.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
That is humility. God is looking to Him. Hey, so now I must prove this, right? I must prove that the concept is that this is source, this is true. Now I'm going to say this. If I call this token, what am I going to call this?
Okay.
Thank you, brother. Tell me. Now that doesn't sound fair. That is not clear, does it? When I, who is the I, see the blood, I'll pass over you. Who is the I? When I? When eternal life sees eternal life, he'll pass over you. You cannot destroy eternal life.
No, amen.
Amen.
He cannot destroy it. God cannot create eternal life. Neither can He destroy it.
Yes.
He cannot create it. It's not part of His creative thinking. But it's part of His eternal thought. And God's thoughts that are eternal has eternal substance.
Amen.
That is why He cannot create eternal life and He can give birth.
Thank you, Lord.
He can reproduce Himself.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody's right. Called Father. Amen. So in God's mind, He has two parts, creative thoughts, eternal thoughts. Eternal thoughts have substance. But creative thought can have perpetual life, like a tree. And it cannot have zoe. Creative thoughts can be angels. They can live immortally. It's immortality. But they don't have zoe. Only God. Now let's look again. Let us go to Romans 6:23. Please just give me a couple more minutes and you will see where I'm going. And the rest of the scriptures will fall into place. Romans 6:23. A nice night for the rapture. Romans 6:23. Paul says very carefully. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The gift of God is what?
Eternal life.
First John said the real gift is the gene. The real gift is the gene. The real gift is the seed. Therefore, the gift of God, the gift from the source, is His own gene.
Amen.
Amen. That's why eternal life is never talked about working for. You can't work for it. If you work for it, it wouldn't be a gift.
Amen.
Amen. You ever work for a gift? Amen. That's why salvation for the bride is the grace of God. It is freely given. It's never talked about you working for it. He said, and I give unto them eternal life.
Amen.
It is a gift of eternal life. It's called a gift of the Holy Ghost. It's called a gift of life. We're not talking about giving anything about looking for it. Because it must be given to you. When? Before the foundation of the world.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Sovereignly given. You can't work for it, you can't obey for it. Amen. You can't believe for it. He said, you brother told you must believe for it. To believe for it is a gift. Amen. Amen. To believe for it is a gift. God has to, amen, open your heart, give you faith to believe that He might give you the gift. Amen. Amen. Otherwise, it will be you.
Amen.
There's a sovereign act of God.
Amen.
Amen. So the gift of God, the gift of God, the gift of the source. Now let's look at this quote here, what man says. He says here now, the questions and answers. He says, there you are, the Bible becomes a new book. Then you're reading it through spiritual eyes and spiritual understanding. Then you see the nouns, the pronouns. Then you see the junctions and the conjunctions. You see, and so forth in the Bible. Watch very carefully now. He says, everything in the Bible is Bible. He says, nouns, pronouns, junctions, conjunctions. I just want to do three prepositions. The word on, the word in, the word by. Okay? For, from. Make one up. Brother Barron interpreted Romans, Revelation 3:21. He said, he that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me. He said, not on my throne, but in my throne. He said, not on, in. Why would it make such a difference? Because in the Greek, the word in is not water in a glass. It doesn't mean that at all. But all in, every time we talk about in, we talk about something, it's something like that. That's not in the Greek. In the Greek, it means that the water reaches the sphere, the outer limits of the circumference of the container. It's not talking about the in, it's talking about how it spreads itself out. So if you sit in his throne, pronouncing you're sitting, the word in there means sphere. It means if you sit in his throne, as far as his rule goes, as far as his dominion goes, as far as his power goes, you are in that power. You are in control.
Amen.
As far as it goes. He said not on his throne, he said in his throne. Now he's teaching us a powerful word in. He said God spoke to us not by his son. In his last days, quoted Hebrews 1:1. He said he spoke to us in his son. He said not by his son. The word by means agency. By the agency of his son. You see? But he said no, not by his son. He said but in his son. What does it mean? You see, God is not just only speaking words. God spoke in prayer and miracles. In power. Not only in miracles and power and words, God spoke in attitude. Even when Jesus didn't speak, the attitude he had, the facial temperament he had, the expression he had was complete. That's why brother said Jesus is the very attitude of God. Amen. That was not just in words. Amen. But every mannerism was God speaking live. Of the entire man God was speaking was the message. Not by, he said in. The word for or from speaks of source. Not for, off or from. Off or from is talking about source. Where is the source coming from? Is it coming directly from a source or indirectly from a source? So I'll give you an example in a minute. The word by or through speaks of an agency. We are redeemed through the blood. You see? Christ became sin for us in substitution. You see? And through Christ has deep meanings on these words. Not in our English, but in the language of the Bible. Now, watch very carefully. Let's put this and see if it works. So therefore, if I say to you that God speaks, you have an example here. If I say that God is in you, then it should have a certain meaning. Might not be talking about the content, but the sphere of control that God has. The preeminence that He has.
Amen.
Is that true?
Amen.
The preeminence that He has. That is what the word is speaking for.
Let me read another book for you, if you don't mind. The Bible therefore is speaking about a language that the Bible is becoming a new book. If the Bible becomes a new book at the opening of the world. Can I erase this? Watch very carefully now. Trying to get it through some. So therefore, if the Bible says you are filled with the Holy Ghost, then the filled means like the water in the glass. Okay. Romans 6:23 again. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of the source is eternal life. Did we not say this is the source?
Amen.
The gift of the source.
Amen.
Off and from is talking about source, where it's coming from.
Amen.
Or off. Therefore, the gift of the source is what? Eternal life. And eternal life comes in the form of a eternal life. Can we go again? Let us go to Acts 2 and 4. What I'm trying to say, friends, is the source here does not indwell you. The source does not indwell you. It does not. Acts 2 and 4. Sorry, Acts 2 to the 8, that's the really one I want. But very carefully. And Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift. Now, the gift of God is eternal life. Isn't that true? The gift of the Holy Ghost will be what also? See, it's not talking about Him, it's talking about a gift of Him. Coming from the source of the gift of the Holy Ghost is eternal life, which is the seed, the life of God, which we call Holy Spirit, but not the source. So let's learn a product here now. Anytime you're talking about reproduction, you're talking about multiplying from the original. It means taking something and multiplying it many folds. When you talk about the source, you talk about incarnation. They are not the same words. See, incarnation is when this source comes and indwells that person. Then he becomes the incarnate God. He who seen his brother Abraham said there's only two persons God ever incarnate. The man in Genesis 18 and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Abraham was not incarnate God. He was anointed.
Amen.
Of God. Moses was not incarnate God. He was anointed of God. Amen. But Melchizedek, that was incarnate God. Jesus, that was incarnate God.
Amen.
And there's only two men. Amen. So therefore, if the source comes and dwells in you, and you call that, that you're filled with God, or filled with the Holy Ghost, that's called incarnation. Are you the incarnate God?
No.
But that's the way we used to think. That's the way we used to think. That God comes in. God Himself comes in and dwells in the human heart. That's incarnation. But reproduction is when God fathers you and gives you part of His own life.
Amen.
Called Zoe.
Yes.
Amen. Now watch carefully now. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. So now Abraham said the church is good. This is the outside teacher.
Amen.
You ever hear that? We have the outside teacher and this is the inside teacher. The outside teacher uses the fivefold ministry and angels to teach you and inspire you through the word.
Amen.
Amen. God uses the fivefold ministry and angels to teach you and inspire you. Amen. To teach you. But the inside teacher catches the gene, the germ of life.
Glory.
Catches the word.
Hallelujah.
And brings the body subject to it.
Amen.
Amen. Inside. Outside teacher. Inside teacher. Check this book here. The inside teacher. The inside teacher. Amen. This is deity. Guess what this is?
Amen.
Deity. Amen. We're not deity. Fellowship with deity. Is that what God said? He said it's not the person come predestinated. It is the seed, the gene. Omnipotence. Fellowship with omnipotence.
Yeah.
Amen. Because that gene is the life of God. Amen. Therefore, can I read some quotes for you? What the Bible says, in modern events, there are many people just can't believe it. Even spiritual people. I'm going to give you one that's going to choke you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean that you're going in at all, not at all. It don't have anything to do with your soul. Leadership 1965, many of you think that I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost and I'm going to heaven. That don't mean that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour of your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. We must find out in the Bible where it says so. If he says it says so, it must be there. Modern events, remember, in that spirit you can be baptized with the genuine spirit of God and still be lost. Questions and answers on the seed, I couldn't understand that how people could speak with tongues, shout with the genuine Holy Spirit and still be antichrist. Speak with tongues with genuine Holy Spirit and still be a devil. He said, I don't understand it. But he said it is in the Bible. He said the Bible said so. So I'm going to put three scriptures up there that we'd like to look at. Can you please turn to Luke 1:41? He says you can be filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized with the Holy Ghost and not be born again. Isn't that true? Luke 1:41. I hope you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Bible has become a new book, and everything we're saying will fit back into the scriptures. That's why I'm putting it back there. Luke 1:41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, the babe believed in her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you this: is Elizabeth filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Is she born again? So filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean born again. Filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized with the Holy Ghost does not necessarily mean born again. Here it is in the Bible. She's filled with the Holy Ghost, but she's not born again. Amen. But where is she? She's under the anointing. She's under the control. And what she speaks is spirit spoken. But she's not born again. There are people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. They are under the anointing, but are they born again in Pentecost? Even in the message, are they born again? Luke 1:67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, was he born again? No, he wasn't born again, but he prophesied, he can have gifts. Amen. You can have gifts. So the word baptized with the Holy Ghost or filled with the Holy Ghost has nothing to do with incarnation. It could do with anointing and control. It could do with gifts. Let's go to Acts 2:4.
Thank you, Lord.
Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we know what the Bible said, they were born again. So here now, filled with the Holy Ghost can mean born again. But not only were they born again, they were under the control of the Holy Spirit and they spoke with gifts.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So if you say you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can have all three. Sometimes they say you're filled with the Holy Ghost and only mean you have gifts. Sometimes you're filled with the Holy Ghost under the control and the anointing. That's it. Amen. So now it becomes confusing, and that's why Pentecost, amen, that language became Babylon.
Amen.
It was so confusing. They were speaking because they were anointed, but they were not converted.
Amen.
And here the prophet is seeing that life in them is not converted. And he wants to find a way to express to be born again. So he starts using the word true baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But there's only one thing about it. How do you know what the true baptism of the Holy Ghost is? Because baptism of the Holy Ghost means so many things. True baptism. That's not even scripture. It's not even in the Bible. So we find out that a prophet had to grow into a language that the bride would understand and not be confused. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible was developed over many years in language. And the language added upon the language to give us an understanding of what God really meant in promises and in words. This life is called many things. It is called token to show you that it is your past from judgment, that nothing can touch you, nothing can harm you. You are under the protection of God.
Yeah.
It is called a seal because it started the work, nothing to stop the work. It is a seal. Finish means to have eternal life, nothing can happen to you.
Yeah.
You can get more of the promise and inheritance, but you're sealed until the day of your redemption.
Yeah.
It is called a seal. It is called a promise of the Spirit. It is called the earnest. This gene is called the earnest, waiting for the body change. It is called the first fruits of the Spirit. It is called the indwelling Spirit. It is called the seed. It is called the gene. It is called representation. It is called Zoe. It is called God's own life. It is called the life of God. It's called born again. It's called a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's called filled with the Holy Ghost. It's called a gift of the Holy Ghost. It's called a gift of eternal life. It is called the Spirit of God. It is called that Holy Spirit of promise. Called many things, and everything that it's called has a specific meaning and relationship and tells something about what God wants to accomplish in you. It is called circumcision because it changes your appetite and desire. It is called many things, but it's the self same thing. It is the life of God, the new birth.
Amen.
Now, how can this be spoken in such a way that it does not confuse the bride? Watch carefully. Abraham was told to have circumcision, a sign of the covenant. Moses picked it up, circumcision on the 8th day. When John the Baptist came, he called it to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. When Jesus came, he called it the promise of the Father. Is that true? When Peter came, he said he called it the gift of the Holy Spirit. When Paul came, he started calling the fruits of the Spirit in the Corinthian church. It was fruits of the Spirit. Then Paul called it the earnest in Ephesians 1. He called it the guarantee. But as Paul began to develop the language, he came to Ephesians 2 and started using the word footprint. You who are dead and still in trust with me, have me now, quick. Now in 1965, the prophet is using only one word, all the time, the word quick. In that word, there is no confusion. Even a man can speak in tongues and say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He can shake his hand and say, yes, but I know you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm filled with that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're no confusion. Let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let them speak in tongues. Let them, amen, have miracles and signs and wonders. That's okay. Amen. As long as you walk with God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, the language progressed in such a way until the mature church now is not confused.
Amen.
But filled with the Holy Ghost, of baptism of the Holy Ghost, and all that carries. All they want to know, are you with that?
Amen.
Have you been changed from one nature to a new nature? See, can I read one more quote to make you at ease here? Brother Brown says, conversion. nature. It's the Holy Spirit that moves the old nature out, and the new nature comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. What he calls the Holy Ghost? The new nature comes in, which is the Holy Ghost. How am I going to be able to identify in the Bible the source and the product? Is that what you really want to know? How am I going to decide what is in me? Who is in me? I know God is in me, but how am I going to determine it? There must be a way to determine this. The source and the product. There is. Brother Barak said this. Preaching on the Holy Ghost series in his church. If you notice, I'm using a lot of quotes because that's the reason. The reason for that is because I have to prove it. He says there's thirst for life. I was reading and teaching in my church some time ago in Pentecost, a little revival I have. I've got an old and parted dialogue of the original Greek translation. It's one of the most outstanding things. I advise it to any of the clergy. He's teaching on the Holy Ghost, and he's taking everything from this little book born in the parting dialogue, and he's saying, I recommend it to the preachers. You mind if I use this book?
Amen.
You see, now I said, well, I recommend it, you can't see that. See? Okay, now, look carefully. He says, it does not go through translators. You know what he says here? He says, no, I wish you bring me the Greek lexicon, you see? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? No, when you believe? Since I've got the perfect dialogue of the original form of the Greek. It's not the Aramaic and many of the others. He said, so the prophet is using this book to preach the Holy Ghost. How am I going to be able to tell when it is the source and when it is the problem? There must be a way. Who's got good eyes? You got good eyes, Brother Bobby? Somebody got good eyes? I don't have good eyes. Young people. Okay, no great. Thank you, Brother. Good eyes and can read. I'm sorry, I needed two things. Can you read? First of all, I need somebody to read Luke 1:41. You want to read Luke 1:41, brother? Okay, Luke 1:41. I know it's long, huh? I know it's long, but believe me, it will make your Bible a new book.
Amen.
It will help make the Bible a new book and confirm that this prophet spoke things that was beyond our belief. Yes, it was hidden in their own time. Read Luke 1:41, brother.
And it came to pass that the Elizabeth had a celebration of Mary, the baby in the morning. And Elizabeth was born.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And Elizabeth had a celebration of Mary, the baby in the morning. And Elizabeth was born with
the very wise man. You read exactly what you saw there. In this book, it's different from what he wrote. Can you read yours again?
And came to pass that in this birth of the salvation of Mary, they did in his womb, and Elizabeth was filled
with the Holy Ghost. Did you see the Holy Ghost in him? No. No. That book went through translators, and the translators added words in your Bible that is not in the original manuscript. Watch very carefully. They added the word the. Now, in the Greek, that's a very important word. Because if I give you this paper, and I say, brother, give me a paper. Give me a paper. But if I say to him, give me the paper, I am definitely wanting something unique.
Amen.
I want the people. You have to ask me which one. It is called a definite article in the Greek. It means wherever you see this word be, it means that it's speaking of something definite. Not just general, but definite. That's an English teacher over there. Isn't that true? A definite article in the Greek. Therefore, in your Bible, they added the word be. But I'm here to tell you that everywhere the source is, there's going to have a the Holy Spirit. Or the Spirit. And everywhere it is just the product, it's going to have Holy Spirit, no the. Or Spirit, only Spirit. Holy. Never a. Would you like to prove it? Let's prove it. Let us go to. Let me give some to you so you understand what I'm saying. Let us go. How many understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. Let us go to the book of Acts 4:31. I'll kill two birds in one stone. Acts 4. And while they were praying, the place was shaken, and they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God in freedom. There is no D here. I added that. See, there's no D. It's A, Holy Spirit. Not D. So let me ask you this. The people in Acts 4:31, were they not born again already? They were born again. They were already born again from Acts 2 and 4. Now they are filled with the Holy Ghost again. What does it mean they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Could they be more born again? No, they were anointed and given power and boldness. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost many times. They give you either gifts or anointing, but only one time you can be born again.
Amen.
Amen. So it shows that it's not talking about the source. It's talking about power. They were given power. They were given the boldness. Let's go to Acts 4:8. Your Bible will read, and then Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Wait a minute, I thought Peter was born again. Unless filled with the Holy Spirit does not only mean born again, it means power, it means control. It means boldness. And in my Bible, there is no definite article. So it's not the source. He was filled. It was power. It was gifts.
Amen.
See, we could not be born again.
Yeah.
Amen. I recommend that you take these scriptures down and we'll read it for the mind. Wherever there is a definite, there is no definite article, it's going to be one out of the three of these things or a combination of them. These are the definite articles. Acts 1 and 2. Acts 1 and 4. Acts 1 and 5. Acts 2 and 4. Acts 2 and 17 and 18. Acts 2 and 38. Acts 4 and 8. Acts 4 and 31. Acts 6 and 3, Acts 6 and 5, Acts 7 and 55, Acts 8 and 15, Acts 9 and 17, Acts 10 and 38, Acts 11 and 16, Acts 11 and 24, Acts 13 and 9, Acts 13 and 52, Acts 19 and 2. Now, wherever the definite article is, which means it's talking about God Himself, the source. Like when it came upon Jesus, that was not an anointing. That was not just control. That was not just gift. That was God Himself. That is in Luke 3:22. That's God Himself. That's the source. Matthew 3:16. Luke 2:26. Mark 3:29. Acts 1:16. Acts 5:3. Acts 5:9. Acts 16 and 6.
Acts 13 and 4. Acts 15 and 28. The rest you'll find on your own. Therefore, you'll find that wherever you see this, the definite article in that Greek book, you say, "But sorry, but we don't have Greek, but we are just lay members. How would I know?" It's easy now. Now you know that the only thing that can dwell in you is the life of God. Anything I'm talking about in you is the life of God. So therefore, where is all these scriptures that talk about God in you? Therefore, God dwells in you in three different ways. Let's take the scriptures. He cannot dwell in you like water in a glass. Therefore, He dwells in you in the form of a mystery. And the three ways that God dwells with you is in these ways. One, Colossians 1:27. God dwells in you in the form of His own life, Zoe, or the nature of God. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brother Bam took that text and preached Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And in there, He's showing you the only way that you can be one with God is if you have the nature of God. Adam and Eve was one with God because they had the same nature. And if you have the nature of God, then you will come into the image of God.
Amen.
So therefore, Christ dwells in you through His own life. Let us look at some scriptures for that. One of those scriptures is Romans 6:23, which we just read. Acts 2:38. Ephesians 4:17-18. The unbelievers are alienated from the life of God. Okay? Amen. I'm closing it up quickly. Okay, let us go to 1 Corinthians 2 and pick up some of these. 1 Corinthians 2. God dwells in you in three different ways. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us. Brother Brown said, the only way you can know anything of God, or the kingdom of God, is if you are born again. So the spirit which is of God, see, the spirit which is of God, that word spirit there, has the equal nature, has the equal zoe, has the equal gene. Because only if you have the nature of God, you can understand the things of God. So therefore, the word spirit has many meanings in the Bible. It comes from the word, the Greek word is the word pneuma. This is the definition from the Message. If you look under the Message Bible and you click under the word spirit, these are the meanings. This is where Brother Brown gets words like zoe, gene, nature, theme. This is what Holy Spirit means. It can mean Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, my Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of human spirit, evil spirit, spirits in general, Jesus' own spirit, Jesus' own ghost, movement of the air, of the wind, breath of the nostril or the mouth, the vital principle of which the body is animated, rational spirit, human spirit, feeling, thinking, deciding, the soul. The soul. The essence of life, deciding, acting, desiring, a life-giving spirit, a human soul that has left the body, a spirit higher than man but lower than God, angels, demons, conceived life, the spirit, the spiritual nature. What do you think we'll remember all these words from? Because sometimes in the Bible when they put spirit, it ought to be nature. It ought to be gene, it ought to be seed, it ought to be life, it ought to be God's life. But we don't know that. Because we have one idea of the word spirit. So now we're reading 1 Corinthians 2. And it says, but we have not received the spirit of the world,
what now we have. But the spirit which is of God, now we are the nature of God, you will know the things of God because you are born again.
Amen.
Let's go to Romans 8. Not chapter 1, I'm sorry. Romans 8. Romans 8 and 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, what spirit of God makes you God's? His own nature, his own life. Therefore the spirit of God there must be nature, must be life. It must be Zoe, it must be Jean, it must be the Jill of life. Okay? Now, if this is not in you, then if this is in you, this is the spirit that makes you belong to God. The nature, the life. I'm going one step further. If this Bible has become a new book, then when we read the scriptures, it must be different to us. Let us go to the book of Romans 8 and 11. One of the most powerful scriptures there is in this end time, because it's talking about quickening. Watch very carefully. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwell in you. Now, can I read it from the open book? You might not agree, but this is my course. But if the germ of life, or the nature of God, if the nature of him, or the nature of God, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he, God, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal body by his gene, by his seed,
amen,
by his nature,
amen,
that dwelleth in you. He said, but wait, how can you do that? By a prophet's authoritative word.
Amen.
Look up right now in Romans 8:11. In the message, part of life. A man might look like a Christian, a person is a Christian, or walk like a Christian, and so forth. But unless that germ of life is in there, he can't rise again. Wait a minute. That's Romans 8:11. That's what I just read. He says, and we become a part of him, then Zoe, God's own life, is imparted unto us. And that's the only way that we can live. That's the only way our lost friends can live. The Zoe must be imparted to them, and they become part. Okay. Continue. 16. Jehovah Jireh. A man might look like a Christian, might act like a Christian, he might in person is a Christian. But unless he's got the germ of life in here, he cannot rise again. You've got to have that germ of life in here, have eternal life. Any person know the Greek word comes from the word Zoe. We become a part of him as you are part of your Father, and you become a part of God. And God's own life is divided and put into you, and it cannot die because it is eternal. But I'm going to show you that the only way that Romans 8:11 you can rise or be quickened is if the Zoe is in you. Therefore, can I read it again? If the life of God, which is Zoe, that raised up Christ from the dead, dwell in you. The only thing dwell in you is the life of God. He that raised up, God that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal body by his nature, his seed, his gene that dwelleth in you. I'm talking about the source now. The source is what is going to bring the atmosphere and the season of resurrection. But unless that germ of life is in there, it will not rise again. So God dwells in you in the form of his own life. Let's look at it this way now. God wants a family. So Bhagavan says, all that God wants, he poured into Christ. So we do this. All that Christ wants, he poured into the bride. All that God wants, he poured into Christ. All the price must be poured into the bride. All the gold must be poured into the price, all the price must be poured into the bride. That's logical. Doesn't that seem to be logical? Doesn't that seem to be stable in the world? The only thing about that, after God empties out, you can throw him away. Now God is in Christ. Now all the Christ is poured into the bride because you are never aware that they won't give an empty container for. And all the Christ that he bought. And so now you can, you know, the minister can take three classes and come up here and assure you. And that will be exactly what the prophet said, but it will be sin. It will be missing the mind. Amen. But watch now, everything that the prophet said must go back in the Bible. So now let's say all that God was in the invisible, he put in our original seed for Jesus Christ. Spoken word, the original seed.
Amen.
He takes that seed and he uses the law of reproduction, planting. He plants it in the ground and it comes forth at 60-fold, 100-fold. It reproduces itself many times. Now, can I say this? That this original life was in the Father?
Amen.
And can the Father say, my life is in you?
Amen.
Can the seed say, no, you know that I am in you?
Amen.
Can not this life say, but my life is in you?
Yes.
No, you know that I am in the Father is me, I am. It's not talking about something in something. It is talking about my life. It's in you, your life is in you.
Amen.
Amen. You said, prove it. Check the life.
Amen.
Check the life.
Glory.
Amen. Now watch carefully. Watch very carefully. If I take the Bible, let's go to 1 John 5:11.
Hallelujah.
I would not keep you here, friends, long if I didn't believe it was important.
Amen.
Amen. But then he said the Bible will become a new book. Then something must strike us.
Amen. Glory.
1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. Every one of us has eternal life. And this life is where? So your eternal life was in the Son. And when the Son was buried, it will reproduce. And now all that was in the Son is now manifested.
Amen.
From one original seed. Life was in his Son. The original brain.
Wonderful.
Amen. Therefore, if there is only one, amen, the same life reproduce. Therefore, the three glasses is not of God. That is of sin. That is of human intelligence, reasoning, logic. God is not logical nor reasonable. You can believe the message and be in sin.
Amen.
You can preach sin into the people by saying exactly what the prophet said. That's why no businessman has a right to be on this pulpit.
Amen.
No mama call, no papa call, no money call. Because amen. You might say what the prophet is saying, but you're not called. Amen. For God to give you that element.
Amen.
Amen. The same life you produce. Therefore, the three classes is not a law. That's what it is. That's what you want to say. But it's not like that.
So
Amen. the scripture is one woman. And who has to trust it after hearing the gospel of your salvation? And who also after that he believed, he received, he was sealed with. Can you read that one? He was sealed with what? When you say that, you must say, you must show the difference between that and this. When you say that, I want to know what this is. You must see that that is confidence, only show the confidence.
Therefore, God dwells in you, the power of the Holy Spirit. And he that abides in the
dust. That's a good
father.
Good father of the
son.
Amen.
Not the son of the one
and the
one. Then stay in the world. If he abides in me, my word abides in you, ask what you.
This is very, very important.
I want to tell you now. If you want
John,
the father,
John 1 and 2.
And son. Second John 1. Abide in my the father. So let's say now. And he was a healer. God is fulfilling his will and his will.
given their kingdom over to us. Is God worried about the children of the world? Is God worried?
1, 2, 3. God is in the form of His Father. I find you and give you revelation. And God's power is the highest quality, the one power is love. That's how He does it.
Amen.
Just like these heathen kids.
What God is love, there is kindness of the Spirit.
Amen.
In love, alongside this creation, in love, there is yes. no suffering.
Yes.
In love, there is peace. In love, there is forgiveness.
He does not have
to do it. It's not true. Whatever you need, love will provide.
Amen.
Even you need grace.
Okay, well,
love will have grace. It's over. Last grace. Whatever you need. So therefore, if the time is hard, God is hard. God is in you. And God's character, the highest quality of God's character is love.
Amen.
Therefore, in love, there is kindness.
Amen.
In love, there is patience
as well.
In love, there is long suffering.
Yes.
In love, there is mercy. In love, there is forgiveness. In love, whatever you need, love will supply.
Amen.
Listen, you need grace. When love has grace, it's over.
Yes. Amen.
And it's love.
Whatever you need. So therefore, in the character of God, we know we have been well in Him, and He in us, God is here, given us all the rest of the prosperity of Him. It is saying that you are God's gene.
First one.
And if you have God's love, then you are in God, and God is in you.
Amen.
And 12.
You are in God, and God is in you. But if you have God's gene,
I love God's heart. God so long.
Show me your love of God's mind.
No man has seen God in hell. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us.
Amen.
Is that true?
And His love,
first John chapter 4,
in us.
Thereby we know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us all the commandment,
what's the reason?
Believe on the name of Jesus Christ
and love one another as He gave us commandment.
And He that
keeps
His commandment,
God His commandment, dwell in Him.
And He in Him,
then you are in God.
Where is
the meaning that He abides in us?
By the Spirit.
You are in God and He is in us,
and God is in you.
Which
but if you have God's gene and you have God's character, surely you have God's mind.
Amen.
And you, if God abides in you, you are in Him and He is in you. Is that true?
That's what it is.
1 John 3, 10, 4.
Love. So what is the emphasis of this? I showed you Christ in you, the hope of glory, as one.
Spirit.
Christ will be God.
I think of man.
And in turn,
we have the
and our character is
Son, Jesus Christ.
And love one another as He gives
us Christ.
And He that keepeth
the truth
of faith and
the
light
of
the
Spirit.
And
we are Christ now.
Christ
now
is born in His
Spirit. Christ
is being born in
heaven. Now the character of Christ
is being born
in heaven.
The love of God
is shed abroad
in our bodies.
In our bodies,
we are in the
body of the
Lord.
I am sure
that God dwells in us
in the form of His
heart
now. God dwells in the form of
His heart. So what is the emphasis of this?
I showed you.
God dwells in the
form of my
wrist.
One.
Two.
God
dwells in your heart.
I see that
in the
heart of
His character.
And that character
is Galatians.
4:19.
Let the
Christ.
God has not seen
the Lord.
The Lord will
be until Christ.
Because
Christ
now.
Christ
now.
Christ
now being
formed in
you. What Christ is being
formed in
you? The
character of Christ
is being
formed
in you.
He says that I will be with you
in the name of
God. I will be with you.
I will be with you.
I'm not going
to do anything.
I'm not going to
do anything.
I'm not going to
in the form of
His character, His life,
God dwells in the form of
but if His life,
before His life
comes,
His word must come.
But
if His word
will come,
His
source,
His life will come,
His
life will come,
His character
will come.
The veil
of this will not come
unless
there is a spy
in the day that you are living
in.
Amen.
That's
how things
we draw out of
His word.
His word is the only comfort that we have.
Amen.
The comfort we would have promised.
Amen.
Therefore, I am with you, I will be with you,
and He was in you,
brother. in you. He did nothing ever. He gave you in the form of his life. He said, take his life. Before his life comes, you can see that it's in you, his word was done. If his word comes, you must believe it. His life is in one. His life will come, still out in the whole thing. The power of will not come unless there is a spark of the air that's on the
Amen.
That's the power of Christ. God will come. The word is the only comfort that you have. You think the word comes, the comfort you have done. It is.
Amen.
You have to find out that there is no comfort. It is. You have to let the Lord work.
Amen.
And how does God in me? Therefore, I am nature. In his goodness, in his love, in his character. And then, I'm greater than he that is in me. If you have the gene, you're going to have it. If you have the gene, you're going to have it. Therefore, who is in the world? It is faith, Satan, that gives us faith in the world that people come to. Satan is in the world. Let's go to Scripture must be covered here. First John 2 is in the world. He's in his world by his own nature, and he's helpful to us. First John 11. He's in the world by his own wisdom, his own knowledge, and his book. And this is by nature, by denomination, by the system. He's in the world by God hearing. And how does God in you? He is more of God in his blood. He has done his character. And I'm greater than your faith, that I've been your character. Amen. If you have this action, you have faith. If you have faith, you will not have it to become one.
Amen.
And therefore, now he says in the it is faith. That gives us a victory that overcomes you.
Amen.
Let's go to First John.
Yeah,
we need to be young adults. But we are not the only ones. speak to him. He can't words.
We surely will fail. God bless you, God keep you in mind.